Luke, do you know what I enjoy doing on a Friday?
Sunbathing.
No. Could. But one of the things that I especially
Going for a
enjoy,
run.
definitely not going for a run.
Reading your favorite novel.
That could be, but
Relaxing
no.
by the fireplace.
Nope. You're missing that this
I
was a
could keep
rhetorical
going.
question.
Oh, okay. Rhetorical question. All right. Okay. Sorry. Go ahead. I'll shut up.
One of the highlights of Friday for me is that new issues of the Repository drop. And I was reading the issue as I do, and then I came down to this one part at the end. And it's always fun. I personally enjoy looking for, like, oh, was crossword mentioned this week? And then it was like, oh, wow. Not only was it mentioned, but wow, Luke said quite a bit in this last episode of crossword. And when I read it, because I'm like, it's accurate, like it's accurate what was said. I'm like, man, it just reads different than I remembered it sounding.
Ray, I know you're listening. I feel like you make me come across as much more, I don't know, aggressive is not the right word, but certainly fiery than I intend to be. But isn't it something, though, that whenever Ray quotes us, it's always me that she's quoting and never you?
We can
So
take
that's your
as a compliment for
challenge.
you. Well,
That's
but
it.
here's the thing. As I read the language, right? It's like Luke Carbis says the WordPress community is being gaslit by claims that WP
No,
Engine dispute.
it's Luke Carbus, plugin review team member said.
Right.
Yeah.
It should say currently plug-in review team member.
We'll see how long that lasts. Oh, no, I think it goes without saying to listeners of Crossword that I love WordPress. I love the WordPress community. I'm engaged. I'm all in. And it's something that's important to me, but my passion has gotten me in trouble in the past. It doesn't land well in particular companies, this sort of passion that I have for the project or for anything that I put my hand to. Sometimes I just need to lay off a little bit. Hopefully I'm not landing in too much hot water as it is.
Well, I think it was great, and I think that passion, it's certainly something that I value, and what I know to be true as someone who's known you for a long time is it comes from a productive place where you actually want to see things better. And anyway, so that was a highlight for me. Did you see the story about the Secure Hosting Alliance?
Yes, I saw that story. Perhaps you should recap it for listeners.
So there is a thing that's been launched recently, and the repository did a story on it called the Secure Hosting Alliance. There's an organization behind it called the i2 Coalition. I think I got that right. And so I've heard of this in the past. I don't know much about this specifically yet, but it's interesting for a few reasons. There are a number of familiar faces in it. It is a collection of hosting companies that are coming together to supposedly raise the standards. One of the pieces of language that they call out is like, it's time to end the race to the bottom, right?
That's such, don't you think? It's like for the premium, any business that sells at some sort of premium package, let's end the race to the bottom is so loaded.
Right. Well, and because who benefits from that?
Right.
So here's what I found interesting about this. I have really good friends involved in this and not involved in this who have very differing takes on the value of or in value of this. So if let's just start with the facts. Look at who is a member of this new Secure Hosting Alliance. A number of hosting companies. Automattic is a member. GoDaddy is a member. So you got two big players right out of the bat, right out of the gate, rather. I have Cricket on my
Off the
mind,
bat. Yep.
apparently.
Yep.
And then you also have folks like Big Scoots, who is not a small player. They're a more medium-sized player. They're a sponsor of Crossword, which we're really grateful for. You have, as the folks behind Secure Hosting Alliance said, they have, hosting from, I think this was actually in the article, some of the biggest companies all the way down to people with a server in their basement. So
Yeah.
it's this very like, hey, we're open to anyone. it's interesting as I, so I'm generally a fan of these types of things. Let's work together. When you've got the biggest players though, there's almost this, at least a more cynical view is that there's like a built-in like imbalance of power, especially if you're talking about things like ending the race to the bottom. Like, are we talking about like price fixing here or setting up like monopolies or, and they also make references to lobbying and preventing like harmful regulation. And generally regulation tends to be things, for instance, that support the interests of the incumbent, so the biggest players more so than the small ones. So I don't know. I found it interesting. And especially because I have friends who have been actively involved, who are fantastic people who are in this thing, who I think nothing but positive of. I've interacted with in a number of different realms. And then I also have people who are like, hey, what's this really about? Like, what's the deal behind this? Who really benefits from this thing?
I mean, I think the generous take is trying to maybe like guard against the host gators of the world, you know?
Okay.
There is this, WordPress suffers from this terrible image of being insecure, right?
Okay. Yeah.
Because various reasons, and we all know it's not really a fair reputation, but partially to blame is the when shared hosting fair, environment.
Was that a pun intended again or no?
No, we can't jump on the fair pun thing every single time it comes up. That wouldn't be fair.
Carry on.
And so, yeah, I don't know. I do feel uneasy about it. I wish they hadn't have said preventing a race to the bottom, because that's
right. That was the problematic language.
That's like the thing. Yep.
If you cut that out, so that's where I'm like, okay, words do matter, and maybe I'm just being, I've let some cynicism creep in to me, because like I know many of the people involved, and they're great people.
We want a race to the bottom. We want WordPress hosting to be as cheap as possible, right, and profitable. But it's better for WordPress if it's cheaper for people to set up WordPress sites.
Right. And I think it's worth calling out the tension here. We want WordPress, we want it to be accessible. Like WordPress is free software. And the
thank
more
you.
Accessible
that's really the word I wanted.
Yep. It can be, the better. And we also want a healthy business ecosystem, which to me is about lowering the barrier of entry and then aligning incentives as those businesses grow. It's not that people aren't willing to spend money. It's, hey, like let's give them space to grow without having them in these locked in like proprietary platforms. Anyway,
yes. So the built-in assumption is that if it's cheap, it's insecure, and it doesn't have to be that way.
Right.
Actually, I have this idea. I'm never going to work on it because I don't want to start a hosting business. So here, free idea, put it out there into the world. I think there should be a hosting company that undercuts all the other WordPress hosting companies, and it's a managed WordPress host. Here's what it does. It sells direct sign up straight into your site, you know, instead WP style. It doesn't have an admin, like a back end for managing billing and backups and things like that, because it actually has that all built into the WordPress admin. Okay. And it doesn't have a sales team. It's all inbound to the website, does marketing, no huge enterprise sales teams. And this is the kicker, no support. Every other company, every other hosting company, they really compete on the best support, and that puts the prices up. What if there was a hosting company that just said, maybe you already know WordPress. Maybe you just have a simple website. Maybe you don't need support. Why would you pay for it? And is still managed, is still kept up to date, even is still secure. And I wanted to start this hosting company, and Big Scoots, feel free to take it. I want you to call it Chips, as in cheap as.
Here's the problem though. The problem with something like that, because this reminds me of SpinUp WP back in the day. Were you ever a customer of theirs?
I am currently a customer of theirs.
So as am I. And I'm a fan, like it, and I know what I want as an end user, but I also have other hosting companies, including Big Scoots. I'm a customer of Big Scoots as well. And when you get to it comes down to like, who's your audience? And you can say, I like the idea. Oh, no support. That's fine until you need it.
Yeah, but you've got these like $30, $45, $50 a month managed hosts, right? And then if you want to go a tier down from that, we're not even thinking about HostGator. We're thinking about DigitalOcean and AWS and doing it all yourself.
Right.
And that's more in the $5 to $10 a month. I think that there can be something in the $10 to $15, even $20 range, which is managed but without all of the corporate stuff stacked on top.
Yeah, I think you are on to something with that. The thing that I found attractive about SpinUp initially was this idea of like, I don't want to pay $10, $20 per site. There are some, that's no problem, and also happy to pay more. But like, if I've got something I want to spin up and just like play with something, to me, I shouldn't have to be paying this like additional like subscription cost for it. And that's where SpinUp was suddenly really attractive, which brought me back to the old days of like unlimited on like a shared account somewhere. Mm-hmm. But it's managed. It's just, you can set up backups. You can decide the level of interest that you have in it. So,
not managed in terms of if your server goes down, you're in trouble. It's not managed in if you get heaps of traffic, you're in trouble. You know, like it's not managed in that sense. You got to be on top of your DigitalOcean droplet or whatever.
Maybe the ideal there would be some sort of like, hey, let's call this what it is. Like this is this level and it's very low cost. And if one of your sites starts to like take off, then you come up, then let's just be more honest about what that is. Because the reality is that most people just spinning up a WordPress don't need to be spending like 20, 30 plus a month on it. It's just the value proposition isn't there. But where do they go for that?
Yeah. How many WordPress sites can be, better question, how many WordPress sites didn't get off the ground because A, it was too hard to use, and B, it was actually just too expensive?
Man, and you know what? Just to add to this, so Joshua, my brother and a mutual friend of yours, that's a funny way to put it. he just recently moved from WordPress to Ghost for his personal site. And as I've been watching him in that process, I'm like, man, this is like a nice experience. This could totally like you could have an experience like this in WordPress if you had it on like a managed host who really curated it, but we don't really have that. And that's okay, but like it feels like a bit of a loss to me.
I think part of the attraction of Ghost is the simple admin interface, and it's very, very, see, you could create a WordPress host that was hyper-specific. That you know, you get like these WooCommerce offerings. It's got WooCommerce and maybe it's got some forms plugins a few other payment processes, whatever. It's got this package bundle deal. But you still have this WordPress admin interface that can do anything and can do everything. And it is still a complicated sort of system because of that. I think, who was I talking to? I was talking to a good friend yesterday, Rob Stinson, and we were saying how WordPress is all about, it seems like WordPress is all about giving users options, right? It's options, not decisions.
Right.
And Ghost has gone, has a different balance of options versus decisions that I think works better for people.
Well, and that, of course, clashes with one of the core tenets of the WordPress project, which is the opposite. It claims to be decisions, not options, right? Like, let's make some decisions. But it feels, I agree with you, it feels like it's an overwhelming amount of options available because none of us use vanilla WordPress. Like, we're going to do something with it.
He was telling me how all he wanted to do was put in some custom CSS into his theme, and he spent an hour trying to figure out how to do that.
Yeah, it's super frustrating.
Eventually, do you know what the solution? Type in /wp-admin/customizer.php and do it there.
Oh man, what a callback! I am interested to see, Luke, with 6.9 and 7.0 and the work that the AI team has been doing. It feels like WordPress, and especially there's been some interesting recent developments with like new editors being alternate editors being available in WordPress, and it's going to be interesting to see. Does WordPress become more conducive to being able to create very like application specific use cases that could give better experiences to end users?